Good morning to everyone. You all are aware of Brother Brill's circumstances, Bill. We are truly sorry. You're in our prayers. And Justin's with the youth event this weekend, so they asked me if I could fill in. John, those songs are amazing. Thank you for what I want to speak on this morning. Aaron, that prayer actually goes very well with it, too. All I'd like to do this morning, this is nothing mind-blowing or anything like that, just some advice during trying times. Because we know these times in our country's history, this has been quite a summer. It's been quite a last several months. The things we've seen with the social unrest, the political fighting, just division along multiple lines, the concern we've had, the major changes that have gone on due to the pandemic. There's just been so much, and sometimes it can be overwhelming. Sometimes it can be really hard, and there's all these things that we can do. We can try to help one another and all that. But I did this sermon a couple months ago at Johnstown, where I preach sometimes, and things have changed a little bit since then, but I really feel like there's steps we can take as being Christians to try to help others along, and to help ourselves out as individuals, as people in the brotherhood. And so what I'd like to do this morning is begin in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17, through chapter 5, verse 2, and then just simply make application with this. So in Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin at verse 17. Apostle Paul says, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Now, how do we apply this today? I know Paul wrote this a couple thousand years ago, but it's still just as applicable today as it was then. Verses 17 through 20. The things he's saying there, I think what we can do with that, especially with the issues that are going on today, we don't make politics, social issues, science, we don't make that a God. We don't make that our religion. Brother Bill said this before, and so many people in American society that don't believe in God, they have this hole in their hearts that needs to be filled. And in the futility of their minds, as he says here, they try to fill it with something else. Party affiliations, social causes, just whatever the situation is. They become zealous for their cause, and if you don't agree with them, well, then hatred can occur. And why hatred? Well, because God's not involved. See, we're zealous for God, but we don't hate our fellow man if he disagrees with us. We can try to help them, but we don't hate them. But Christ has called us to love. So when we look at that and we make application to what's going on, again, we're zealous for God. We're not zealous for these other things. In the futility, we don't let that futility of our minds take that over. Instead, we love God. Because he says in verses 20 through 24 that when we learned Christ, we didn't learn to be hard-hearted, callous, greedy, deceitful. That's not what we learned when we learned Christ. That's the old self. That's the self that's been put aside. That's the self that was corrupted. Instead, he says, remember that new self, that self that's been renewed in righteousness and in truth. And when we're tempted in whatever situation it is sometimes, and we'll talk about anger here in a minute, when we're tempted to lash out, to do that, to remember that Christ called us to be, again, that's not us. We're not hard-hearted. We're not callous. We're not greedy. We're not deceitful. That's not who he's called us to be. Because, again, verse 20, you did not learn Christ in this way. And so he's saying you learn Christ in a better way. Now, verse 25, when he says, lay aside all falsehood. Speak truth with each one of you as neighbor. Now, when Paul wrote this, I think, in part, he specifically meant when he says we are members of one another as we talk with our Christian brethren. But also this principle can and should be applied to all of our neighbors. We need to be a light in this world in this respect. If you're like me, I don't always know what to believe when the media reports things. I'm very dubious of stories I read on social media. Even when people put out quotes, they say, this person said this, this is a quote by this person. I don't know if that's true anymore. And the reason I don't know if that's true, maybe you're like me, is because so many people put misinformation out there. And as Christians, as a church, we need to be the people in this society that others don't have to question our truthfulness. They know if we say it, it's true. There's times we may be mistaken, that's different. But we don't specifically go out there with an agenda telling falsehoods in a manner to try to hurt others or convince others or whatever it is. And so just in this world that we're in, we're zealous for God, not for these other things. We're not hard-hearted, we're not callous, and we're truthful. We make sure that people understand that they know that they can trust that what we say to be true. Because if we're truthful in small things, if we're truthful in just whatever our everyday life is, if we're truthful in just the things that we say with one another, or the things that maybe we do post on social media or that sort of stuff, if we're truthful in those sort of things, then they know we'll be truthful in more important things. If they want to speak with us about Christ, or if we talk to them about Christ, that we'll be truthful about it. And verses 26 and following, now this can be tough, especially in today's day and age. This can be really tough. It's okay to be angry about some things, but to be angry and not sin, that can be very hard. It can be very hard to be angry and not sin. We can't let that anger control us. We can't let it run our lives. We all know, especially, we've all been angry at some time or another. We've been angry at work. We've been angry with our children. We've been angry with our parents. We've been angry with our fellow. We all know what that is, to be angry. But we can't let that anger control us. And here's the thing. I don't know if things will change now that the election's over. I don't know how the media will be. I don't know how things on social media will be. I don't know that there's going to be a big difference. I do know that there has been just a lot of anger, a lot of strife, a lot of hate just in our society. And you can feel that. I don't know about you. I know I can feel that inside me sometimes. And in my job, when I'm trying to help high school kids deal with this and that sort of thing, and you can see the frustration, the anger that they have. And don't understand everything perfectly, or maybe they do. But then whenever we're talking with others, and that anger, that hatred that's there. When we see things on the news, we talk with others, things on social media, that sort of stuff, if it makes us angry and that leads to some sort of positive action, that can be okay. That's when, we know Jesus got angry, and his anger caused him to do things that were in accordance with God's word. He did positive actions. The example I thought of, and this has been a couple months ago, you don't see this on social media so much now, but unfortunately there's still things like human trafficking in the world. And if that anger causes people to do something about that, then that can be a good thing. But if that anger is just just burning at you. If we jump down to verse 29, he says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only word that's good for edification." Guys, this is generally where anger gets the best of us, through our words. It really is. Sometimes careless words can hurt others. We know that. Sometimes we'll say things without even thinking. We don't mean it maliciously, but that happens. But often it's things that are spoken through anger. And today, I don't have too many interactions with people where there's angry words being spoken. I don't know about you. I don't simply have that. But again, media, social media especially, you see that like crazy. You know, my wife and I talk about sometimes we take breaks from social media just to get away from all that. I actually had to, because of my job, because my part of my job as an assistant basketball coach is I have to do the social media. So I put Facebook back on my phone and all that, and I was just kind of going through a few things and just seeing the anger that's there. It's often things people, they will write down, but we all know they would never say face to face. But it's out there, and so then you read that, and then you feel angry, and then you respond, or just by reading it and you don't respond, it just gets there. You know, when Paul's saying this, to let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, again, verse 29, only such a word is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Paul's not telling us to never speak up, to never get into a confrontation. Okay, that's why he includes the phrase for edification according to the need of the moment. Yes, he continues to say that it will give grace to those who hear, but please understand what I'm saying here. Some people may need to be corrected in order to receive that grace. The key, though, is edification. To seek confrontation just for the sake of it, and we all know there's plenty of people that just like to argue. Not what he's saying, but or to rebuke a fellow Christian or even a non-Christian in a humiliating or condescending manner, that's not edifying the person. It's a selfish act on our part, and it's not done in love. So instead, whenever something like this happens, we know we're going to get into disagreements with people. We understand that, but try to speak in an edifying way. There's so many times, I know in my life, I've held my tongue when I couldn't think of anything, not even nice to say, but I couldn't think of a response that wouldn't be hurtful. And I haven't always done that perfectly, that's for sure. I've said plenty of things that have been hurtful. And I know, I'm sure everyone here has been in situations like that. But the idea there is to not let that anger get the best of us, to not... In verse 27, don't give the devil an opportunity, because that's exactly what he's looking for there, is that opportunity to get in there. And guys, we know words hurt. Words hurt, and sometimes it can be hard to, you can say, "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, I take it back," but it's still there. And again, in our society right now, there's a lot of words being pushed around, kicked around, and so we need to be aware of that as Christians to try to handle this. So, if we look at verses 30 through 31, this is where I say advice, because so far we've been kind of going through, well, this is don't do this, don't do that, don't. Verse 30 here, where he says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you're sealed for the day of bitterness." But then here, verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice." Now, imagine what our individual lives would be like if we just follow verse 31. And then imagine what our world would be like if the world would follow verse 31. All the bitterness and the wrath and the anger and the clamor, you know, that's where the hurt comes from. That's where those problems come from. Slander, and then along with all malice. Today, it just feels like there's so many people out there that are trying to hurt someone else. They're trying to hurt their character, hurt them professionally, in some cases, unfortunately, physically. I know there's always been violence in the world. There's always been things that are out there. This summer, I've had to remind several of my students that they're like, "Well, this has never happened before." I'm like, "Well, this isn't even as bad as what happened in the 60s. I wasn't alive then, but I mean, I've studied that. I've seen that. Some of you were. And so these things, this has happened. So what do we do? How do we fix this? How do we, what do we as Christians do with all this? Well, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. And then he goes on in verse 5:1, be imitators of God, walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you. How do we fix this? Well, we're kind. We're forgiving. And not superficially. Because Paul says to do it as God in Christ has forgiven us. We don't deserve God's kindness. We don't deserve his mercy. We don't deserve his favor. We certainly don't deserve his forgiveness. Yet through Christ, through the death of his Son, God has completely and totally forgiven our sins. So we in turn are to be kind to others because God is kind. We forgive others because God's forgiven us. We show love to others because God loves us. If God treated us the way that we deserved, we'd be lost. But he doesn't. He cares for us. He forgives us. He loves us. And this is how we treat our fellow man. Regardless of what's going on, if we'll do that, if we'll treat our man, our fellow man, with forgiveness, with love, with kindness, it'll make things better. Individually, of course, we feel better. We get along with others better. And then maybe we can have that impact on our community. We can have that impact on our culture. We can have that impact on our country. You know, if we give up, if we just grow despondent of the world, we lose. But in spite of all that's going on, if we actively seek to show love, to be an edification to others, to forgive when we've been offended, we will win in the end. In the end, in our everyday lives, we'll be happier. We're not allowing the bad to encumber us. We're not allowing that evil to be there and be on us. And then in the end, more importantly, when this life is over, we'll have lived a life where we followed after God and we'll be rewarded in heaven. Now, I don't know the future. I don't know if things are going to get better immediately. I don't know if things are going to continue on the way they are. But if we can act in that way, if we can act in a way where we show kindness, we show forgiveness, and most importantly, we show love in the way the Apostle Paul has asked us to in Ephesians, I think it'll help us in our own personal lives, but it'll also help us in this culture that we have in our country. And we can be that light to the world. We'll offer an invitation to your subject now. If you've not put on the Lord in baptism and would like to do so this morning, or if you need the prayers of the congregation, we'll offer you the opportunity to come forward while we stand and while we sing.